Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Before
you're feeling sad, I want you to always remember, yes, there's a place in the sun where there's hope for everyone, where my poor restless heart gotta run. I know there's a place in the sun.
Wow.
Hail from Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the Big Eddie Klotsoff Motor City Mafia Grudge Race Show. Hit the one button and let yourself be heard.
Talk about some of our heritage and history of black people. We're going to talk about some of the things that still exist today. We're going to try to do this because I think sometimes we need to do it. You know, they took black history and history classes out of the schools. When we was coming up, we had black history and we also just had regular history. Where they modernized and lied about, you know, the white people. They used to talk about slavery and different famous black people that played a role in our lives today. But they soon took it out. And now a lot of these young folks out here don't even realize, you know, what our history was. And, you know, and they always tell me, if you don't know where you've been, you don't sure don't know where you're going. And I don't know why they did it like that, but we're going to talk about some of that too. We even got some people in our group that we know that personally probably have people that was known for in the era, the Martin Luther King, the Negro Leagues, and so on and so on, you know. So we're going to see if everybody can get with this here, and let's talk about something tonight. Let's just change it up a little bit, and let's honor our black history. I don't know where all my people there tonight, but a lot of time maybe we're going to have a mic muted if we can get through this here. My first question about Uncle Tom. A lot of people thought that Uncle Tom was a bad thing. You know, was always against black people, but that was far, far from the truth. I got a little piece right here I want to present to y'all about Uncle Tom.
Uncle Tom was a bad nigga. Uncle Tom. Y'all need to look up Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom. A Tom turkey means what kind of turkey? Huh? Yeah, but it's something else when they say Tom turkey. Huh? You almost got the word, but there's one word I'm looking for. Tough. Tough. A Tom boy means what? Tough girl. So then when do Uncle Tom mean something weak and something nasty? When that white boy had to take you the wrong way. And he come over from Africa, every 75 miles during slavery, there was Uncle Tom. And if a white man reached for her breast, and these black brothers killed him, just out of compassion, didn't mean to kill him, we knew if we can get him 75 miles to the Tom, the Uncle Tom ate him hair, bones, and all, no evidence. That's what Uncle Tom was. And they switched that whole thing around so you never know who they were scared of. See what they can do with words?
Yes.
I mean, that was the job of the Uncle Tom. A tomboy is what? Tough. So then why, when it come to me, it happened to be weak?
Good point.
Huh?
Good point. Yes, man. Good point.
All right, to most of us, the name Uncle Tom is synonymous with a black person who has sold out their race. The character Stephen from Django, played by Samuel L. Jackson, is a perfect example of someone referred to as a Tom. However, in actuality, the term Sambo better fits the characteristics we often link to Uncle Tom. In Harriet Beecher Stowe's anti-slavery book, Uncle Tom's Cabin, Sambo was a black slave overseer who beat Uncle Tom to death. In her book, Harriet Beecher Stowe describes the Uncle Tom character as a rugged individualist who resisted with dignity the system of slavery. He stood up to slave masters, and he earned the title of Uncle for being an honorable man who slaves adopted as their own.
Yeah. Well, y'all, that is, for those who didn't know, they use the term as Uncle Tom as to put down another, a black person. Y'all can see right now that that wasn't the right term for him. He was more like the term y'all trying to use is the Sambo. Uncle Tom was a good guy. Sambo was a bad guy for us. That's up. Did anybody got some questions or got anything they'd like to say about Black History for Black History Month? This is our month, so we're gonna honor it as our Black History. You know, today I'm gonna try to do this. Try to bring a little something different to the show. And I'm hoping that everybody be interested and get involved. You might have some stories or might want to tell somebody about somebody that's probably, you know, not mentioned a lot about that you might know about as far as, just like, you know, we all know about Harriet Tubman and stuff like that. Maybe a black baseball player, somebody that, you know, that name hadn't been mentioned. And some of the accomplishments that have been taken, you know. But if you want to say something, you can raise your hand, or else I'm going to go to the next little thing. Okay. I want to talk about systemic racism. It's something that's always been a part of our life and affected our lives. And right now, it still goes on today. You know, they play us like a whistle. You go to the bank, you face it, trying to get a home loan, buy a car, anything. It's even when you go into the courtroom, the color of your skin can make the world a difference. It's just basically crazy, but it's happening today, and some people don't believe it's happening these days. Okay? A lot of people don't believe it's happening. So I'm going to see about, I'm going to play a little short segment on that.
Systemic racism is evident in hateful and violent behavior towards people of color, but also in normalized policies and practices that lead to inequitable outcomes for people based on racial identity. It's the combination of historical decisions and normalized practices that lead to unequal access to housing and to high-quality schools. The impact of systemic racism means that as an African-American male, I'm more likely to go to jail and less likely to get a job I'm qualified for. Sometimes these inequalities are not driven by a desire to discriminate, but by unconscious biases that people have developed over their lifetime. Systemic racism even normalizes the way we think about the colors black and white. For instance, we're taught to associate white with beauty, purity, and the good guys. Black, on the other hand, is more often than not associated with the bad guys. It's evil and scary. In and beyond our churches, Jesus is persistently presented as white, even though that is historically inaccurate. Conversely, the black sheep family member is the ostracized one. The white lie is in some way more acceptable. These seemingly innocent associations are habitually conveying the value of white versus black. In small ways and big ways, the cumulative effect of systemic racism gives people different access to opportunities. This can have an intergenerational impact. For example, between 1983 and 2013, white households saw their wealth increase by 14%. However, during the same period, black household wealth declined by 75%. Median Latinx household wealth declined 50%. The disproportionate impact of the COVID pandemic on Black, Latinx, and Indigenous people is a direct outcome of systemic racism. To disrupt and dismantle systemic racism in our communities, in our nation, and our world, we need to first understand its origins and how it has operated over time, and the profound and violent impact it continues to have in the lives of people. Here at the University of Dayton, we are committed to anti-racism as an essential component of being a university for the common good.
All right, y'all. Anybody got something to say yet? Anybody got a... Want to raise their hand, talk about any of them, and talk about the subject of systemic racism. I know just about everybody that probably crossed by it in their life and seen it. If you're a black person, you sure probably seen it. That's all. Where are my buddies at? Where kid at? Well, yeah, kid, come on in here. There we go.
What's going on, Eddie?
Ain't nothing, kid. Just trying to go through a little history, man. Black history is Black History Month.
So I'm going to honor it today.
Yes, sir. Talk about some of the things, you know, that's going on right now today that we still dealing with. You know, most of these issues are still happening right now today. You know.
Oh shit! Ain't too much change but the weather.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got a couple more little sections in here, you know. You know, nobody want to talk about what they probably experienced or know about it, what they think about it, what's going on today. Because, you know, tomorrow is the future for our kids. And she had a whole lot of them acting damn fools, man. Don't make it look good for us at all.
Yeah, you right
about
that.
But we got a whole lot of good ones, too. Yeah. Yes, let me see. It's another little thing here I want to play. Let me see.
Hey, welcome to Homeschool Pop. In this video, we're going to learn about Black History Month. Black History Month is an annual celebration of African American history. The word annual means every year. We celebrate people like Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, Thurgood Marshall, and Rosa Parks, just to name a few. Black History Month celebrates important people and events in African American history. It is celebrated every February. February is Black History Month. So you might be wondering, why is it celebrated in February? Why is February, of all the months, Black History Month? Well, both Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass were born in the month of February. Both of these men worked to end slavery. And guess what? This is so awesome. They did it. They absolutely did it. And so many other people worked to that end too. But Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass were some of the main figures in ending slavery. February is the perfect month to celebrate Black history. Okay, so what's the story behind this celebration? Well, it all goes back to this man, a man named Carter Woodson, who would later be known as the father of Black history. He was a historian and a well-published author who was concerned that the stories of Black history were not being told. Carter Woodson announced the second week of February to be a week dedicated to celebrating Black history. You might say, a week? It's a month. It's Black History Month. Well, you have to hold on. At first, it was just a week. It was the second week of February. In the following decade, celebrating Black history in the second week of February grew in popularity. More and more people were celebrating Black history on the second week of February. Then, in 1969, it was proposed that the entire month of February become Black History Month. Then, just 6 years later, in 1975, President Gerald Ford recognized Black History Month. He said officially, listen everybody, this is a thing. The month of February, it's important to celebrate Black history. He said the accomplishments of African Americans have been too long neglected. That's why here on Homeschool Pop, we've featured some of these incredible stories of men and women of African American descent who have made a huge impact on our world. The thing you have to remember, though, these are important stories. They're not just for one month, not just the month of February, Black History Month, but it's for the whole year. These stories are to be cherished, and they're important all year long. But this is a month where we all pause and we celebrate the legacy of these incredible men and women. Thanks for watching this Homeschool Pop video on Black History Month. We do have a playlist that has some of our videos that...
All right. That's what Black History Month is all about, how it started. It used to be 2 weeks. They gave us the shortest month, but we got a month.
Yep.
But we can celebrate it every day. Yes, sir. They even had a little thing about history in Chicago, you know. I guess, you know, they're talking about the historical buildings and, you know, stuff like that. They talk about also the black innovators, you know. And so we got a lot today to be proud of. But yet, we got a long way to go.
Yes, indeed. A really long way to go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody out there want to come in and say something? Well, kid. I don't know if I'm doing this right, but I'm just trying to get a little history out here, you know. That's something to try to celebrate Black history. Yeah, so I'm going to play another little segment about Black history in Chicago.
Chicago's pulsing with Black history. It's all around us. Tonight's cover story, WGN's Gaynor Hall, takes a look at a few significant sites and the efforts to keep them alive for generations to come.
Every time I enter this sanctuary, I'm reminded of those who have come before us.
If these walls could talk.
They do talk. They could tell you of the stories of Ida B. Wells Barnett, Frederick Douglass.
Of Booker T. Washington, Dr. King, and countless others who've spoken here.
Quinn Chapel itself was a protest from its very beginning.
The beginning dates back to the 1840s. Quinn Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church became the first black church established in Chicago. One of its former locations downtown, the church served as a stop on the Underground Railroad, guiding the enslaved to freedom. Members like Emma Atkinson helped launch the abolitionist movement in Illinois.
It was also a gathering place where food, clothing, resources, information were gathered, passed on as people were passed on to the next stop.
In 1891, this building went up at 24th and Wabash. Today, it still stands, but it needs work. Pastor James Moody is leading a multi-million dollar restoration project.
The existence of Quinn Chapel is a statement of the independence, the ingenuity, the faith, the hard work and commitment of African Americans in the city of Chicago.
The same year the church was built, Provident Hospital was established by Dr. Daniel Hale Williams in the Douglas neighborhood. He performed the world's first successful open-heart surgery, and the hospital was a much-needed training ground for black doctors and nurses.
He opened Provident Hospital because he saw a need that patients could not be admitted to other hospitals, were turned away from other hospitals, and our doctors could not get privileges to take care of patients in the hospital.
Moving to 51st Street in the 1930s, the hospital was later taken over by Cook County Health.
I think that it's significant that Provident has persevered.
Dr. Claudia Fegan is the county's chief medical officer.
It's a source of great pride for us that we continue to be there and serve the community.
We have made so many magnificent contributions.
Dr. Carol Adams, president and CEO of Urban Prescriptive, says the history surrounds us.
Well, Chicago is the centerpiece of black America, and some say the centerpiece of the black world.
Black writers, artists, musicians, and politicians were all drawn here to Bronzeville, a magnet for black culture.
Just heading down what's now King Drive at 36, sits the home of journalist Ida B. Wells. She led a crusade against lynching.
She felt that the work she was doing was important enough to put her fear aside.
Near 41st Street once lived trailblazing pilot Betsy Coleman.
She couldn't get into any flight school in the city of Chicago, and so she went to France. How's that for claiming your destiny?
A few blocks south of there was home to Chicago's first black alderman. Oscar Stanton DePriest went on to serve in Congress.
My only sin is in my skin.
And legendary musician Louis Armstrong lived right off King Drive on 44th Street.
That Chicago is far from being the promised land. That is no Jerusalem on Lake Michigan.
In Lawndale, the site where Dr. Martin Luther King stayed with his family in 1966, is now the King Legacy Apartments.
Black Panther Party this time is a political self-defense.
Also on the west side near Monroe and Western is where police murdered a sleeping Fred Hampton in a hail of bullets. And his family is working to save the house in Maywood where he grew up.
It's, you know, some things the Black Panther Party addressed back in the 1960s, they're still relevant now.
We watched in horror as a policeman's knee on George Floyd's neck ended his life as if it meant nothing. We are not as far away as we like to imagine we are from the horrors of that 1955 summer.
In the summer of 1955, 14-year-old Emmett Till was lynched while visiting relatives in Mississippi. This was his home at 64th and St. Lawrence in Woodlawn.
When I woke up one day and realized that just a few blocks down the street from where I was sleeping, there was a story that was my story. That was my story. And the story of millions of us.
Naomi Davis's nonprofit Blacks in Green, or BIG, bought the building that was just designated a Chicago landmark, and they're making no little plans, raising money for a museum, community theater, and garden dedicated to Emmett and his mother and the legacy of the Great Migration.
It's our duty and it's our joy to share the story forward of the courage and the destiny.
Past and present, the city alive with reminders of shared heartbreak and triumph and ongoing struggle.
Overcoming in spite of, it's knowing you have obstacles and still moving forward.
Honoring Black history this month and beyond.
There are so many places that we need to preserve or put markers on and tell stories about so that people understand our real history.
Gaynor Hall, WGN News.
Chicago is so rich.
Definitely that's something we need to keep up with is our history. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I see up in Minneapolis, they killed a young guy with a no-knock warrant.
Today. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man.
That was today?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah,
man, I don't know what it's going to take to stop, man. Look at that. They let that man out of jail. The man ain't served 3 years for killing that boy like he killed him. And they study fucking with Jesse Smollett. Because he played the act on himself as a hate crime, as they say. But yet at the same time, he ain't hurt nobody but himself. He hurt nobody but himself. But they study going after him, but yet they let a man shoot an unarmed boy he had a night walking away from him 16 times. Did nothing to him. That's basically what they did to him was nothing. And then he had his people in there too, the other police is messing with evidence, covering up stuff, lying, writing false reports, and they didn't do nothing to them. If that would have been a black or brown person,
yeah,
they'd have been
reversed.
Under the jail.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I didn't understand the whole situation. you're going to shoot a person 16 times like they're an animal or something?
And tried to reload.
And tried to reload.
And his partner grabbed the gun. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I just don't get it.
That's up. That's up. It's just sad, man. I mean, they talk about how black people kill each other today. How horrible we is when white people tried to kill the world. They slaughtered and murdered peoples all over the world. Some are strong enough to keep them away. But right now today, they have no problem slaughtering. It's like we game to them. We in the wrong area. We done fucked up. And there's so many people killed out here like myself and like you. It ain't out there trying to harm nobody, just trying to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Get caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, and we'll be slaughtered, and nothing to be done about it.
Yep.
You know. Yes, sir.
Hey, Kia.
Yeah.
You forgot to say something about that kid that they killed. They went there with another no-knock warrant. The kid wasn't even the guy they were looking for.
You're right.
The kid was supposed to be laying on the couch in a blanket. And they came in on
no blanket.
You know how people duck out of the blanket and they just started shooting. They didn't say come out or nothing. They just started shooting.
Wow.
He was the wrong color. If that had been white, they probably would have asked him to come out.
No, well, first of all, if he was white, they would have never went there with a no-knock warrant.
Mm-hmm.
They would have went there at a presentable time. They would have went there like they did 4 days and stuff. I just told him, I see it. Don't fault me for it because it's the truth. But, you know, that's just the way they do it. You know what I'm saying? Like I put a post on Facebook a couple of years back. When police and white people see a 7-8-year-old black kid, they see a damn hoe. That's what they see. He always a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But the real true threat is, I hate to say it like this, but I got to say this, this ain't against all white folks, so let me make that disclaimer first. But a lot of them motherfuckers don't want to see none of us be successful at all. So they'd rather just take you out and be through with it.
Oh, yeah, that is very true.
If you look at it, they don't give us the chances in the corporate world to be successful, but the few that's in there, successful, taking over. You look at any type of sports, basically, except for something that we don't play. That ski jumping and shit, we don't do that
hockey.
No way. But now, any other thing, we taking over. You know what I'm saying? Everything in life, man, basically everything in life go through us. Always has,
yes,
always will. This country was built on the back of our ancestors, slaves, that you know what I'm saying? And people talking about, you ask for reparations, they don't owe you nothing. Ain't nobody here no slave but my ancestors were. You living off the backs of what my ancestors built from your ancestors, so what the hell are you talking about? Explain that one then. If you living off of money that was generationally passed down, why can't we get paid?
Yeah.
We're the only people in this country that
wealth.
Has never been paid
right.
for anything. Right. We have never been paid for anything, not nothing.
That's right.
Oh, you forgot about
the
40 acres and a mule, Crooked Letter.
Well, I'm going to tell you about that too, kid. It's 40 acres. But the biggest pay we ever got. We got one big payment. You know what that payment was? No damn attention.
Yep. 40 acres and a mule. That's the biggest bullshit in town.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they knew kids if they thought about it after they promised it, they thought they would be funny when they said it. But you know, in actuality, man, I don't want you to think about this. If anybody else on here listening, I want you to think about this. Black folks have always took something that was nothing and made something out of it. They said, well, we'll give 40 acres and a mule. They won't do shit with it. But then somebody said, oh, hell no. The motherfuckers they have farms and shit bigger than ours. And that's the truth. It would happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? You think about it. Now, I know both of y'all close to my age are older. I want you to think about it. Back in the day, when you was a kid and different stuff, our grandparents and different things like that, they worked for different white people in the yards and different stuff like that. They did different things. But now, the old white folks have an old car that they discarded. It's sitting out there back there in the bushes somewhere. And then first thing they say, hey, you want that old junk car back there? You go back there and you can have it if you want it. But they never expected for our grandparents to make that mug run. You know what I'm saying? When they pick up, it's running.
Yes, sir.
They never expected that. They thought they were just, you know, they getting an eyesore out of the yard, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Anything you give us, we're going to find a way to do something with it. That's all I want to say. I'm still on here.
He started racing in 1952, and, you know, it was like Picasso. Like a great artist doing his work. He was in that car, he was doing his work. But, you know, he couldn't get the support where other drivers that we were competing against had major sponsorship. He did everything that he did out of his own pocket. And as children, we didn't have that leisure time. You know, we couldn't go to the playground. He said to us, I need you at the garage. I can remember him getting injured, and he'd just take axle grease and put it in the cut and keep working. But he wasn't allowed to race at certain speedways. He had death threats not to come to Atlanta. And they had to say, look, if I leave in a pine box, that's what I got to do, but I'm going to race. I can remember him racing in Jacksonville, and he beat them all. But they wouldn't drop the checkered flag. And then when they did drop the checkered flag, they had my father in third place. One of the main reasons they gave was there was a white beauty queen, and they always kissed the driver. He finally got the money. But, of course, the trophy was gone. The fans were gone. The beauty queens were gone.
Did he ever consider not racing anymore?
Never. That was one of my daddy's sayings. When it's too tough, everybody else is just right for me. Like I can remember one time when we were racing Atlanta 500, and he was sick. He needed an operation. And I said, Daddy, we don't have to race today. He whispered to me and said, lift my legs up and put me in the car. He drove 500 miles that day. He always felt like someday he's going to get his big break. But for 20 years, nobody mentioned Wendell Scott. But he didn't let it drive him crazy. I think that's what made him so great. He chose to be a race car driver, and he was going to race until he couldn't race no more.
The youngest person to do so. I was determined to let Wallace see what he had done to me.
A lot of people spat on us. A lot of white clanners were there. A lot of white supremacists.
Oh, come on, put a gun
in. Just grab a flag right here.
And further ahead still, segregationists have been at work too, putting up posters on the roadside accusing Dr. Luther King of being communist trained. Another propaganda too, this time from the air. Light planes are dropping leaflets calling on white employers to sack their Negro workers.
living on a piece of land. I can't let segregation turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna let segregation turn me around. I just keep on walking, keep on talking, marching on a piece of land.
Nothing but jubilation.
When we at the Capitol and Wallace is up in the window peeping behind the blinds and he didn't come out to see my bandage over my head that covers the 7 stitches.
We had marched that 50 miles that they told us that we weren't going to march.
They had to surrender the steps of the Capitol. It's a very triumphant moment.
They told us we wouldn't get here. There were those who said that we would get here only over that dead body.
Well,
all the world today knows that we are here and we are standing before the forces of power in the state of Alabama saying we ain't going to let nobody turn us around.
That was it, Doctor. Nothing did for us what that did.
Keep on walking, keep on talking. Marching on a freedom land.
Yes, sir, kid, and that's what they kept doing. They kept on. They took the beating, the lashing, and everything, and they just kept keep on, just like right now today. You know, we study, you know, trying to get equal liberty and justice for our people. And, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King and a few others started that fight. They weren't here to carry it on, but they put a pretty big dent in it that people got the understanding that what we needed and what we need to do. Yeah, so let's talk about the innovators. You know, hear a little something about the innovators, man. Some of the innovators.
Blood banks, personal computers, or affordable shoes. From the traffic light to the ironing board, these innovative creations and many more wouldn't exist today if it weren't for the brilliant minds of these African-American inventors. Thomas Jennings was the first African-American person to receive a patent in the United States, paving the way for future inventors of color to gain exclusive rights to their inventions. Born in 1791, Jennings lived and worked in New York City as a tailor and dry cleaner. He invented an early morning of dry cleaning and dry scouring and patented in 1821. People objected to an African-American receiving a patent, but Jennings had a loophole. He was a free man. At the time, U.S. patent laws said the slave master is the owner of the fruit of labor of the slave, both manual and intellectual, meaning slaves could not legally own their own ideas or inventions. Several decades later, Congress extended patent rights to all African-American individuals, both slaves and freedmen. Jennings eventually used the money from his inventions to free the rest of his family and donate to abolitionist causes. Born Sarah Breedlove in 1867, Madam C.J. Walkers is often referred to as America's first self-made female millionaire. Her early life was filled with hardships, and at the age of 20 years, she was both an orphan and a widow. Breedlove's fortunes changed after she moved to St. Louis, where her brothers worked as barbers. She suffered from hair loss and experimented with various products, including hair care recipe developed by an African-American businesswoman named Annie Malone. Breedlove became a sales representative for Malone and relocated to Denver, where she also married her husband, Charles Joseph Walker. Soon after, she began selling her own hair growing formula developed specifically for African-American women. Breedlove renamed herself Madame C.J. Walker heavily promoted the product and established beauty schools, salons, and training facilities across America. She died a famous millionaire and is today considered to be one of the founders of African American hair care and cosmetics industry. The ironing board is a product that is used possibly just as much as it is overlooked. In the late 19th century, it was improved upon by Sarah Boone, an African-American woman who was born a slave, one of the first black American women in U.S. history to receive a patent. She expanded upon the original ironing board, which was essentially a horizontal wooden block originally patented in 1858. With Boone's 1892 additions, the board featured a narrower and a curved design, making it easier to iron garments, particularly women's clothing. Boone's design would morph into modern ironing board that we use today.
All right, y'all, that was just some of the black innovators they was talking about. It's kind of long, so I'm not going to play that whole thing. But we also played a thing about Wendell Scott. Everybody know who Wendell Scott is, right?
Oh, man, not Richard Pryor.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Richard Pryor played a role about Wendell Scott.
Yes, he played a hell of a role.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, he was a black racer. He was like more than NASCAR type racing. And if you ever, mm-hmm. if you saw that movie, you knew the story. I think a lot of us seen the movie, you know. Yes,
yep.
So, Crooked Letters, you there? Wake up, Crooked Letters.
No, I was on mute, man. I had to get the phone.
Yeah, I know. So did you get a chance to do that little piece I asked you to do?
Uh-uh. Oh, I texted you. You didn't see the text I sent you?
No, man. I ain't looking at no texts.
Well, start looking. Start looking. If it had been a bologna sandwich, you'd have sold.
Oh, man.
No, now you got me fucked up with Big Mark. You got me fucked up with Big Mark, man.
Nah, I didn't say that. Don't put me in that.
That's
right. Nah, I didn't get chance to, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of long, here. So, you know.
Yeah, well, you could have, you know, just read what you wanted to read and, you know, just give
a person. I got to compress it down. Some stuff I got to take out. But, you know.
Yeah, man. Well, I guess I'll get ready to end this segment. Don't seem like nobody want to really talk with me, you and Kid, but. Guess I play this one last little, this one little song. If anybody wants to continue to talk about it after that, we can.
Go down, Moses.
Let my people go.
So the Lord said, go
down.
Go down.
Moses.
Moses.
Way,
way
down,
down
in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaohs to let my people go.
Let my people go.
So Moses went to Egypt land.
Let my people go.
He made old Pharaoh understand.
Let my people go.
Yes, the Lord said, go down.
Go down.
Moses.
Moses.
Way,
way down.
Down. Let my people go.
Let my people go.
Thus spoke the Lord, bold Moses said,
let my people go.
If not, I'll smite your firstborn dead.
Let my people go.
The Lord said, go down.
Go down.
Moses.
Moses.
Way,
way
down,
down
in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh,
let my people go.
Get out of here without honoring Dr. Martin Luther King and what I thought was his probably greatest speech. And then after that, I want to play.
I have
his
the
last
pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. Yeah. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. Exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day with all of God's children. Be able to sing with new meaning, my country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountainside. Let freedom ring in Winnipeg. When we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Yes, sir. All right, now I'm going to go to his last.
Hell of a speech.
Yes, sir. And now for the last speech that he ever got a chance to say. I want to play that in honor of History Month, Black History, and Dr. Martin Luther King himself.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over that. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Thank you.
Y'all, that right there will end my special part for the night show. I think I did my job in trying to honor Black history. You know, didn't get a lot of participation outside of Crooked Letter. And Kid, I appreciate you guys coming in with me while we did this, you know. But, you know, I got to say, that we were talking about a bunch of nothing. You'd had everybody on here hooping and hollering and cursing and getting involved, but when you're talking about something as important as our Black history, they don't want to have nothing to say, you know.
That's
one of the biggest things. Yeah,
that was a hell of a day back in 1968.
Yes, sir.
That man had a premonition that he wasn't gonna make it another day.
That's right. That's right. That's his final speech, man.
Yep.
And then he went and stood back in between his people as soon as he got through talking. It's almost like he knew it was coming.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesse
but
Jackson.
He was a great man.
Ralph David Abernathy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say that again, Kid. Who?
Ralph David Abernathy.
Ralph Abernathy. But the other name you say was a great man.
Was a great man.
Yeah, you said two.
No,
names.
I said Dr. Martin Luther King was a great man. That was me.
No. He said two names. He said first name. He said was a great man. Then he said Ralph Abernathy.
Yep. Ralph Abernathy, Jesse Jackson was up there. And who else?
Okay. I just, you said that was nothing. I'll tell you about it later.
Yeah, he was naming the people Crooked Letter, but I was the one that said a great man, but I was talking about Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I just said, I just wanted to hear that name again. That's all.
Well, Jesse Jackson?
Yeah, that name. You know, that's y'all guy up there in Chicago, but you know what I'm saying? It's just something about that dude I just can't get with. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Jesse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got a hand up, y'all. All right. 3490, what's going on?
What's happening? Listen, guys. Every Black leader we've ever had some faults. The Bible says none perfect but the Father, so therefore none is faultless. But Jesse is a great man. I told him earlier today, if he didn't do nothing else, he put his life on the line every time he stepped on the line, whether it be just to walk in the back, in the middle, or up front. Just like others got hurt, his life was a possibility of being snuffed out as well. And it ain't like he had to do it. Now we're going to say he wasn't all this and all that because maybe he took a payout, he'll pay out there. At the end of the day, just putting his face out there was enough.
Yep, you got a point there.
Yeah, he served some purpose. He served some purpose, that's for sure, D. It might not have been all the way like we wanted him to, but he served some purpose.
Definitely did.
Exactly.
Oh, no. Nah. I'm going to tell you, I never said nothing about him. I said I can't get down with him. That's all I said. I can't get with him like that. That's all I'm saying. That's just me. That's my opinion.
No. He's just talking in general.
Listen to what I'm saying, Eddie. I say that's my opinion. My opinion only counts for me and not
right,
nobody
right.
else. I'm not trying to make nobody
right.
else. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, is that right?
No, I don't think Brother D meant that towards your opinion or nothing. He's just speaking in general.
Eddie, y'all taking it the wrong way. I never said anything about that. I just said for me. I'm just explaining myself. You know, not not for everybody else or nothing. Just me. I can't get with
it. Hey, Crickaletta, you, me, and a whole lot of other people. You know, also looked at him sideways. You know, I ain't gonna lie, I damn sure looked at him sideways. But you know, we don't really know the whole story of what they tried to say he did is true. Just like they tried to talk down Farrakhan. Farrakhan said a lot of good shit, but a lot of people don't like even listen to what Farrakhan say. I listen to him all the time, and sometimes he make a whole lot of sense, but to everybody, you ain't going to make sense to. You know what I'm saying? So, like you said, to each his own and how you take the message. It's to each his own and how you take the message.
Well, Ed, I agree with
what
you're
saying, Crickaletta.
I agree with what
you're
saying 100%. But I'm going to say this also. A lot of people look at Farrakhan sideways because of religion. A lot of people.
It may be. But what you saying,
people
brother?
Look at him sideways. Other people look at him sideways because some feel like he has something to do with Malcolm's death. You know? But again, there's none of us perfect. But I was about to say, I know you as he know about it. You all remember Operation Red Basket?
Yeah.
Now, let's just say for the sake of saying, I know us three. We know that Jess was hearing that. But he was hearing that. Okay. I'm going to go as far as saying that for every 100,000 that came in the door, every 10,000 that came in the door, let's say he put three in his pocket. Look how many families was helped by him putting that three in his pocket.
This is why I say what I say.
Everyone, even the white people that put their life on the line, and there was a lot of white people marching, doing
there's a lot of white people that stepped forward.
Us that have
right,
right,
helped the movement,
and even lost their lives. Some even lost their lives.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
And when you do that, when you put your life on the line, and you don't have to do it. Oh, you great in my eyes, right?
Yeah.
And I know you're not perfect. I know some things that he's been accused of doing. People accuse King. They accuse King of the same.
That's
right. We were quickly run to, I had a dream. I'm like Barack. Barack said, you had a dream. He said, I am that dream.
That's right. That's us. Yes, sir. And I tell people all the time, that movement would have never worked.
There ain't a person on earth that has lived, is living, or will live that ain't going to have somebody that don't agree with everything they do or don't like them.
That's right.
You know,
they didn't do Jesus Christ.
You know what I'm saying? I don't see, you know what I'm saying? I ain't say nothing bad about, you know, this or nothing like that. I just don't get down with him like that. That's all. You know what I'm saying? Some of his stuff that he did, you know, I agree with some of it. You know what I'm saying? Operation Push and that other stuff that they were doing, you know what I'm saying? But then later on, come to find out, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't what it was supposed to be, but it was a good idea. I agree with that. But it didn't last. They didn't do what they said they were going to do. They tried to. I don't know what got in their way. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what happened there. But you know what I'm saying? But I know it fell apart. Just like this here. Hey, D, And I'm gonna say another name that I don't get down with. I'm gonna say another thing I don't get down with. I do not get down with Al Sharpton, the ambulance chaser. I don't.
Well, he but now Al Sharpton is another one. He's another one. I do the same thing for Al. I do for King, Jackson, and the rest of them that put their life on the line. Every time he go into a movement of whatever the case might be, he's putting his life on the line for someone else's life. That's what I'm trying to stress. I try to stress the fact that
he out there.
First of all, they are a human being, and they're doing, even if they're getting paid to do it, they are doing what they don't have to do, and can still, with their educational level being where it is said to be, we don't know for sure, but we're assuming it's there, they can always make an honest living and live pretty good doing something else. But they choose to reach out and try to help. Let's look at Al. Al got the operation going. Let's look at Jesse. Jesse had Operation Push going. They didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it was getting kicked
back. Rainbow Coalition was one, and Operation Push was the other.
And has done a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, has done a lot. Been accused of. Jesse been accused of everything under the sun, but he's kept them doors open. I went out to Operation Push, and I wanted to shake his hand. I couldn't shake his hand. I was upset at first, but then I thought about it. I'm like, that's security. They got to protect him. They got to.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. I feel like anyone, and I'll say time and time again, anyone that's willing to put their life on the line for another man. I look at what the word says.
Yeah,
the Bible says there's no greater love than a man will lay down his life for his brother. So, amen.
Yes, well. Hey, Brother D, let me tell you how God worked, man. I mean, he definitely keep looking over me. I didn't go to dialysis Wednesday because I knew the conditions and I knew what was going to happen with that car. So, you know, I'm running around here half blind driving. So today I got up, I had, you know, blown my snow and everything so I can get out and go today because I wasn't nowhere in the world. I could have missed a day. And I went in there. And matter of fact, Wednesday was the first day I ever missed. And, I went on in there today, and on my way in there, man, the streets that lead to the dialysis place, you know, by me being half blind, stuff kind of be like snowed out, where everything basically looked the same till it's too late. And they hadn't even plowed the street, man. They had went so far, then they just like stopped. And before I know it, man, I felt the car slowing down, so I stopped. I said, I should be in the back of battle here because I barely got in it. Car got stuck there. I'm sitting there with my four ways on. I'm finna call AAA. And while I was talking to AAA, a little Mexican guy came over to my window, knocked on the window. He said, I'm going to get you out. I said, I so appreciate it. He started shoveling, man. The man shoveled around the car for me, man, and got me out and wouldn't take no money. I asked him, I said, you got cash out? He said, yeah. I said, what's your phone number? He gave me his phone number. He said, but I don't want nothing. This is God's work. And I went into dialysis, and I sat there, and I sent the man $25. And do you know right now I'm looking at it, that man ain't accepted that money yet.
You know what he said, didn't he? He says God's work.
Yes.
See, the Lord tells us we are to help each other. We're supposed to help each other. That's in the word. That's very, like I said, it's in the word. We're supposed to reach out for one another. You know, and that was just a blessing that he was there to help you, you know.
Yeah. And man, if he wouldn't have came over to help me, ain't no telling how long I sat there.
Right. Yeah. But you see what the song says? He may not come when you want him, but it says he's always
on time.
Oh, he's on time.
And that's a perfect illustration of it right there, that he's always on time.
He's on time for me. Yes, sir. I know that's right. And he's been there for me quite a few times over the years. He's been there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when it's my time, I can't weep. I can't cry about it because he done kept me. He done kept me. If I feel like I done already cheated life. You know what I'm saying? And I can see this.
You know,
so I'm...
That's one of his names. He has so many names. And one of them says he's a keeper. One of them says he's a healer.
Yes, sir.
And when you say he's a keeper, he's just that. He's just that, man. Yeah, he's a keeper.
Yes,
he'll do what no other power
yes,
can do. That's what he'll do. You know, Farrakhan used to call him the blue-eyed devil until he got sick. When Farrakhan got sick, he said, I learn. I like that because they let me know you forever learn. He said, I learn to call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Yes, he will. Oh, he will. He gonna need to show up and say hello when I'm done with his car.
Oh man, don't get Ray Lowe started. He probably ain't on here because we talking about the history. Ray Lowe probably ain't on here today.
Yeah, he might be on. He could have shot.
But man, I enjoy being able to do this. I hope people was able to enjoy it as best they can. You know, I figured people would have really been kind of into this, man. But I always been in love with Black History, man. I always tried to keep up with it, and I tried to teach my kids. And,
Hey, Eddie.
What we got to try to do. Yeah, man.
Big Eddie. I want to say something, man. You just said something to me. Like you just said, you figure people would be into this. They really should be into this. But they've been brainwashed, man. You know what I'm saying? They've been brainwashed. You know what I'm saying? They don't, you know what I'm saying? We are the only people in this world, the American Negro, that came from slavery. We are the only people in this world not have heritage and culture from our ancestors. We do not, because we don't even know who we are. We don't even know who we are.
That's right.
But, you know what I'm saying, we've been brainwashed into thinking a certain way instead of thinking for yourself. Because like I always say, if you have any inkling of what your economic wealth and value is, as a people, you can run the world. We can run America. We can also run the world as Black people. All we got to do is unite.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But, it'll never happen because you got, you know what I'm saying, ladies here? Let me say it, ladies here. A lot of y'all right around my age, what I'm going to say, ladies here. The worst thing that ever could have been invented was invented in the late 1950s or early 1960s, which year, I'm not exactly sure. But the worst thing, it has brainwashed more people than any other thing in this world. And that's that TV. The television gets you. They inundate you with stuff. If somebody tells you the same thing over and over, repetitiously, whether you believe it or not, if they tell you long enough, you can start to believe.
You're going to believe it.
You'll start to believe.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that's what television does to us. You think about it. They inundate you on TV with Burger King and Pizza Hut and Domino's and Golden Corral and, you know, different places like that. And the first thing you do is you get hungry. If you ain't got the money to go out and get something, you get up and go your ass in the kitchen. You wasn't hungry before, but now all of a sudden you're hungry. That should let you know you get brainwashed by this stuff. And they show you a new product, and they show it to you over and over and over again. Eventually, you're going to go buy it or try it. I'm just, you know. But you, ain't nobody got to listen to me now because I'm nobody. Remember, I'm nobody.
I guess that's why they invented the smart TV, quicker than that.
Yeah. Yeah, probably part of it, kid, for real. Well, I guess, let me rephrase that. The smart TV is basically a computer. And they can access that computer through, you know, your cable, your satellite, and different stuff like that. They see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they know what to give you. That's what they do. Just like you be on your phone, me and you talking on the phone, two or three people, we have a conversation, and we start talking about something. And sometime during that day, you go on, like, Facebook or something like that, and there's an ad for what you were talking about. Oh, they listen? Mm-hmm. Believe me.
I ain't got a number of dumb TVs in my house.
All right, y'all, I'm back.
Like you said, with the smart TV, all of a sudden now you can be watching something on your phone on YouTube, and the first thing it'll tell you is you can watch this on your television. And you go on that phone and do something, and your phone hooked to the TV.
All you do is hit that little symbol. It'll shoot straight over.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's crazy. It happened.
Look, Roddy, you know I was listening to this show, man. I was listening to Dr. King, man. I ain't trying to hear what y'all talking about, man.
What the hell
y'all talking about? Ain't nothing, man. I can understand.
Is that Mr. Ray O'Reilly? I'm finna mellow with you now.
I didn't want to see nothing on the show tonight. Man, I heard his program. I said, I'm going to listen to this. Ain't nobody got to see
that. I know that's right.
Bro. I heard that.
That history on King Drive, man. I know a little history, but I learned a lot tonight on this show.
Yes, sir.
What was going on King Drive?
And that was my idea. Try to find something different. In Black History Month, all of Black History Month, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And like Raylo said, he listened to the show tonight. Raylo said he listened to the show tonight. He learned a lot tonight. That just goes back to what your parents used to tell us all the time back in the day. Open your mouth. Close your mouth and open your ears. Just listen, you'll learn. And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Close your mouth and listen.
I'm glad I didn't do something for somebody, man.
Well, King John, some of it I didn't know. Some I did know, and some of it I didn't. That's what really got me into it.
Yeah, man.
Louis Armstrong and Bessie Coleman, all them people.
Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Eddie. Now, yeah. I'm gonna summarize this since people were interested in that. Now, I was going to come on here tonight, and I was going to talk about Lieutenant Lawrence Roberts of the Tuskegee Airmen. He's from New Jersey, but he moved to Mississippi. He married a lady here. You know, he became a lieutenant in the military. He fought in the Korean War and, you know, different things. He flew what they call a Piper airplane. I'm just summarizing this thing. But now...
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell most of you guys up there something you don't know because I met the man and I know his family. And there's a young lady that used to be up there with y'all up there. She did the news and weather. Her name is Robin Roberts. A lot of people don't know. That's Commander Lawrence's daughter. She was also on ESPN, too. Now she's on Good Morning America.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people don't know that. Now, he moved to Pakistan. He died. He was in Biloxi. He's buried at the National Cemetery over at the VA in Biloxi. But, you know, now that's the guy I was going to talk about tonight because, you know what I'm saying, he was one of the first actual combat pilots in United States history. Black.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they never actually lost a plane. All right, let me rephrase that. They never lost a plane that they were escorting. Some of them got hit and had to turn around and different stuff, but they never
actually died.
Yeah. That was it right there. That's it. Oh, I got a question for Kid.
Yeah.
Hey, Kid. Do you know, since you out there, do you know who was the first people to sit in for the civil rights thing in what year?
Who was people to sit in for the civil rights?
At the whites-only counters for the civil rights things. Who were the first ones that did it?
No, I can't remember.
Well, it was the Greensboro boys from over in the Carolinas. They did it in 1960. They called them the four something, but it was the Greensboro boys. They called them the Greensboro boys also. That's what they known as, the Greensboro boys.
They was from Greensboro, North Carolina?
Yes, sir.
Ooh,
yeah. I know, you know what I'm saying? I know quite a bit of that history stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, sometimes I ain't gonna say old, I gotten older, and my mind don't function like it used to, so, you know what I'm saying? I have to think about it for a minute, and then I can put it together. I'm slowing down, too.
But you're old as a motherfucker,
too.
You're old as hell.
Hey, Kid.
Yeah, what up, Rello?
What's happening? Not to jump the subject or nothing. Me and my dad was sitting up. We were watching any kind of old drag racing videos, NHRA, US-30, all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we was watching the 1975 race in Montreal, and Raymond Beadle and Don Perdomo ran, I think, in the semi, and Don Perdomo won. Now, you know, Raymond Beadle is dog's man.
Yep, Blue Max.
And there go the camera. They put the camera in the grandstand, and there was Earl and Dog standing there gambling.
Yep.
And my old man said, "Raymond, you said nothing." I said, "Man, I told you, man, I know how to sit back and relax." I had never seen it myself. We just watching old videos, and that Earl and Harry Dog and Cool Brown. You remember Cool Brown?
Yep. That was 1975, if I ain't mistaken, up in Montreal.
75, yeah. Montreal, yep. Every dog standing there in the grandstand, him and Earl and the rest of the crew. I couldn't pick none of the faces, no more of the faces. That's how rewinding and keep looking at it. But dog
was
paying Earl for money, man.
Lump was there. I was supposed to go, but I forgot what the hell happened. Everybody
Raylo,
drove up
talk
there.
To him lately? Hey. Hey, y'all. Hey, Raylo, could you do me a favor? Raylo, could you take my number down and give me a call later?
I ain't calling you. Well, you like to talk all until 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I'm gonna be asleep, man.
No. I won't talk that long. I need to ask you about something. I need to call you to ask you about something. I need you to tell me how to do something.
so I can call you right after the show if possible. You can call me. Take my number down. You call me. And I need to ask you about something. And I know you know how to do it.
I might have your number. If you get the same number, it might be still in my phone.
Yeah, I got the same number for the last 30 years. Hey, everybody, I'm sorry about that. I forgot to speak, y'all. That's not nice. How everybody doing?
That's all right. Hey, hey, Big Eddie, I can tell you what Preacher Boy want Raylo to call him for. I already
What's
know.
That? I bet you don't.
You wanted to go, you wanted to go up to the mental institution and commit your ass.
Oh, well, shit. Why would I let him get that free check? Look, why would I let him get that free check?
Yeah, what's up, Preach? Yeah, boy.
How you doing, man?
What's the number, Preacher Boy?
That chronic is still working on me a little bit, but I'm,
942-4015.
Okay. 4015.
Yeah, 4015. 942-4015. That's 773 number.
All
right. Yeah, I heard y'all earlier.
Yeah, that's
sure
right. I heard the long time.
Y'all was talking about Black Sunday.
That's
Black History. So
you,
I missed the rest
you,
of it though. I fell asleep when I left. But what happened? What else y'all talking about besides Black History?
That was basically it. That was my intention for the night to try to honor Black History.
Hey, Eddie.
You know my favorite all-time Black History, my favorite all-time Black History photo is? What's that? Big Mark, when he was about 6 years old, weighing 300 pounds, sitting on the porch eating water.
Oh, hell no. Nah. Here we go.
Damn.
Here we go with the bullshit.
I refuse to be pulled into that signifying conversation in Black History. You can say all the jokes you want, but you will not get a response from me. I will never let you see me sweat. Do your thing.
Big Mark, you know it's just fun, bro. It's just fun. That's all it is. Because I know if I didn't get you, I know you're going to get me as soon as you hear my voice. I know you.
I didn't say nothing about your country ass sitting in the backyard on the tractor with an AM radio listening to the show. I didn't say nothing.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, man, it's snowing out here again, Crooked-Lettle.
For real?
Yeah,
rain. It was rain here about 2 hours, but it's gone now. I'm glad of that. Well, that front done passed
rain
through. We supposed to go back down in 30
again. I'll bring my tractor back out the garage.
That
pissed me off. I'm going to bring my tractor back out the garage that you gave me, man.
Yeah.
And what Big Ma got mad. He said, why you ain't send him a couple of watermelons?
But let me ask you something, Ed, since you're talking. Why you sent me that picture from your house? I'm like, look at Big Mark on your snowblower tracking right out the yard.
Big Mark no ain't said nothing like that.
Big Mark, if you think I'm lying, I send you the picture on Messenger. Now, Eddie, what you going to say now?
I ain't going to say nothing, man. He can see the picture, but. Big Mark ain't worried about me riding a tractor. He worried about why you ain't sending him no watermelons.
You didn't say that was you riding. You said that was Big Mark riding around on your tractor.
And that's right. That's what I said.
Talking about how happy you were. That's what you said.
The only way Mark would have been happy about riding on the tractor, he'd have had to have a Happy Meal to go with it.
You got some more of that downloaded, Black History stuff, man.
Yes, sir.
It's still a little early. The show, you thought the show was dead. You knew how to wake it up, don't
you? Oh, man.
You didn't push the one button early enough. It was after 9:30 before I tried to push it. It was too late because I was just listening. I didn't really want to say that. I thought you were going to keep that on.
Yeah, you could have hit the You could have hit the one button to.
I think it was after 9
o'clock. 10 o'clock.
I thought I did.
Yeah.
Hey, Raylo, and you know, I'm old enough to where as some of that stuff, the tail end of that Jim Crow stuff down south down here, I actually saw, you know, and experienced it. That going in the back door stores and all different kind of stuff and getting out the sidewalk for white folks to walk by and all that kind of stuff. I actually experienced that stuff. And I couldn't understand it because I actually didn't just grew up in Mississippi. I was over in Louisiana. We didn't see that in Louisiana. So, you know what I'm saying? I didn't understand it. My dad had to keep me, you know, informed on a lot of stuff. He told me, just do what I told you to do. And you know, whatever he told me, that's what I did. But, you know, I didn't understand it. He explained it to me later, but I didn't understand that stuff, man. I didn't know what was really going on because it wasn't like that in New Orleans.
Man, I didn't hear stories from people how they had to sneak out of town in trunks of cars to keep from getting killed or getting lynched or getting thrown in jail.
Mm-hmm.
It's escaping up here to Chicago. Man, I remember the riots. I used to live on 76th Street right across from Grand Crossing Park. And that's when Mayor Daley had the National Guard camped out in the parks when they were supposed to have to shoot the kill orders out for the rioters. It was crazy,
wow.
Man. And, man, we didn't know nothing. We little kids. The soldiers, it was a corner store right across. The soldiers couldn't leave the park until they got deployed. So
that was in 67, Big Mark. That was in 67. That's when they killed King. No,
68.
I'm thinking about the self-blood, but that was in 68 when they killed.
Yeah.
And Dale said shoot the kill. I was living in Holman in Jackson. I'm sorry. Yeah, I live in Holman in Jackson. And they was coming through back then, they called them high fire. They was coming through the high fire. And said, my mama said, what them niggas going with that? And they said, y'all don't know? King just got killed. And they would open the stores up. You know, Fifth City was popping in. They was actually opening the store saying, take what you want. Just please don't burn me out. And they would take everything they could possibly get and then turn around and throw a cocktail in there and burn the man out.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, you really only hurt yourself because they took the insurance money and didn't come back.
Now you got to go out in Oak Park and Evergreen Park to shop and shit. Man, please.
Yeah, you got to go to them. You got to go in their area because we burn them out in our area. They didn't leave us. We burned them out. So a lot of us, like we said, they left. They sure did not leave. We burnt them out.
Hey, I got something here where they were talking about when Martin Luther King was in Chicago. I'm going to play that right quick.
Go ahead.
You know, back in 66.
That's the wrong thing. That way it go. There you go. Y'all
know
going
like to
have
six, Eddie.
Yeah.
Now is the time to get rid of the slums and ghettos of Chicago. Now is the time to make justice a reality all over this nation. Now is the time.
It's the 40th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s stay in Chicago. He moved to 1550 South Hamlin Avenue on January 26, 1966, to be a partner, really, in the Chicago Freedom Movement, and to work with local activists, local civil rights workers, to open Chicago, open housing in Chicago. Also, he came to help desegregate or integrate the schools.
I must be concerned about problems in Chicago as well as in my native hometown of Atlanta, Georgia, and justice.
Dr. King wanted to take his talents to the north because he had such great success here raising money, as well as he had one of the biggest rallies. In 1964, he filled Soldiers Field.
It was about 60 of us sent a telegram to King inviting him to Chicago. And mainly because here it was a civil rights base. In fact, it was more, in a sense, we were kind of a model for the rest of the country.
So he'd come to Chicago two, three nights a week, and then he's off all over the country, some all over the world. Housing really became the primary focus. There were several meetings between Martin Luther King and Mayor Richard J. Daley.
I made it very clear that we would be engaged in action programs that would require and tax at points the policemen, and times would be inconvenient.
We would go in teams and go to these realtors in the Gage Park area and Archer Avenue. We would ask to be shown apartments, and then we'd be turned down. And then immediately afterward, a white team would come in and would be shown an apartment. And we would record all of this. And then that was the basis of public formal protest.
We challenged on the west side of Chicago slum landlords. We worked out slum landlord agreements with the tenants and the slum landlords. It was that kind of high moral authority that Dr. King had.
We must make full and constructive use of the freedom we already possess.
The first open housing march was really in Gage Park around 55th Street. 4,000 or 5,000 people, no violence to speak of. We marched on the north side in the Belmont-Craigan area. Wasn't as bad as the south side. The place where all the violence occurred was in Market Park.
August 5th, 1966. About 500, 600 marchers, black, white, real rainbow, were confronted by at least 5,000 neighborhood people throwing rocks, slurs, and a rock hit Dr. King in the back of the neck, knocking him to his knees. One of his famous lines was, he had never seen racial hostility in the South, Mississippi or Alabama, as bad as it was in Market Park that day.
The thing I will never forget is the women in pin curlers spitting and cursing. I'd been in other demonstrations in Africa and other parts of the United States, but I had never seen the venomous hatred that came out of those women in pin curlers.
I mean, I grew up in a very white, inbred community. And so myself and a couple of teenagers rode our bikes over there just on our own, just to see what was going on. I remember leaving that day frightened, but also something was left in me that this guy, either he's crazy or he has some kind of power that I want to know about. And as a result of that day, I started to read everything I could read about Martin Luther King Jr.
He helped to unleash forces for change that would not have probably moved as rapidly as they did had it not been for that summer. It, of course, it still remains one of the most segregated cities, but there have been things that have been done. Today you can go to the north, Lincoln Park area, Lakeview, and there are many black people living up that way.
As I've said so often,
We must set out to do more than a good Negro job. If you're setting out to be a good Negro lawyer, a good Negro doctor, a good Negro school teacher, a good Negro skilled laborer, a good Negro beautician, a good Negro barber, you have already flunked your matriculation exam for entrance into the University of Integration.
When King left town in the fall of 66, the city and the Chicago Freedom Movement hammered out what's called the Summit Agreement, which basically was a lot of words promising to do better, promising to work for an open city, but there was no real enforcement component. And that, I think, was always frustrating for Dr. King. Some historians, some activists always look at Chicago as a defeat for King. Others see it in a much more nuanced way.
Many people have criticized Dr. King and the SCLC for their role here. I take the exact opposite view. I think it helped to set in motion activities that led to changing schools in this city. It set in motion activities that led to an effort to desegregate what was the equivalent of South Africa's residential patterns.
I think he succeeded on many levels. He did real good at waking up brothers and sisters in the street.
I proudly and humbly accept on behalf of the people of Chicago the nomination as a Democratic candidate for mayor in 1983.
The Chicago Freedom Movement set in motion a lot of what came to be. For example, the election of Harold Washington, the first African-American mayor of Chicago, in 1983. Many of the people who worked in the Chicago Freedom Movement were also integral parts of Harold Washington's campaign. People like Don Rose, who was the spokesman for the Chicago Freedom Movement. People like Albert Raby, who was one of the co-leaders of the Chicago Freedom Movement, and then in the 82-83 was Mayor Washington's campaign manager.
When people often say, well, you know, what drew you into the priesthood? What really drew me into ministry was a Baptist minister, you know, named Martin Luther King Jr., because I saw him defining that faith had to be the ultimate tool that transformed lives and community.
Time because they're doing the countdown now. It would have cut it off. Yeah, Martin Luther King was a bad man.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Powerful individual. So was Malcolm X and the rest of the brothers. Help me count down.
It's amazing.
Right, do this right quick.
All right.
We like the birds and the bees, but we'd rather die on our feet and keep living on our knees.
Some help, man. I got carried away and I did the James Brown split. I can't get up.
And you can't get up. I mean, you said you did a split. I know you said you need some help and you can't get up. Well, you'll get up. Keep smiling and listening to that like this and you'll get up.
Hey, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, I like that.
Hey, Raylo.
Yeah.
Back in 1977 when I was in high school doing Black Spring Break, they didn't like what we called Martin Luther King. They didn't like it. We didn't call him Martin Luther King. We called him Martin Luther the King.
Martin Luther the King.
The King.
The King.
The King. Yeah. Martin Luther the King.
Put a handle on it. The King.
Yes, sir. If you could have all these people that did great things, like they were talking about King Arthur and all that, but why can't we have our own king? His last name is King, and he still is our king. Martin Luther the King.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you look at it, he is actually the king. He's the king of what? Civil rights movement. Also, nonviolence and everything else that he did. He's the king of it because he did it, you know what I'm saying? He did it in a way that nobody else did it and probably ever do it again if they did it. So, you know, that's the way we looked at it.
Yeah, he was a great man. Malcolm X was a great man, but the only thing different between Malcolm X and King, Malcolm X said, if you slap me, I'm going to slap you back.
I'm going to slap you back. Too powerful for one man. Yes, hey, Raylo.
Yeah.
The Louis Armstrong, thank Walter. You think it can use one more play?
Yeah, the King Jai did. But this is from our 41st Street. They was moving on down and saying who lived where and what they did.
There's
a handful of them in African America on King Jai.
Yeah. You think that Go Down Moses worth playing one more time?
Go ahead with it. Go ahead. What is that?
Go down Moses way down in Egypt land. Moses, way down in Egypt land.
people go.
Let my people go.
So Moses went to Egypt's land.
Let my people go.
He made old Pharaoh understand.
Let my people go.
Yes, the Lord said, go down.
Go down.
Moses.
Moses.
Way down.
Down.
In Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go.
Let my people go.
Lord, bold Moses said,
let my people go.
If not, I'll smite your firstborn dead.
Let my people go.
Cause the Lord said, go down.
Go down.
Moses.
Moses.
Way down.
Down.
In Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, that race down in Texas, that Martin Luther King race down there, I think it's an H&T.
Houston Most Wanted, yeah.
Month.
I really don't know. It may be next month. I'm not sure. Yeah, that lady, that Shockwell lady be calling them races down there. Say again?
Mm-hmm.
Say that again?
I know you're talking about the lady that be, she like Willie Dog or something down there or something.
Yeah.
HMP,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know her name. I forgot her name. I'm going to do it sometimes.
I did know her first name. I know, but I just can't think of it. I remember my last name. My last name is Shockwell. I don't know exactly when that is, Raylo. You know, that's about 7 hours from me.
It's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up.
That's fine. Are
you thinking about running down there?
No, I don't go down there for nothing like that, but I keep up with it. I check it out when I see footage of it on the internet or something.
Oh, okay.
On Facebook or something. One of my best friends live down there, and I know he's going. Get down there.
They tell me every year it's a nice race. I hadn't been over there, but they tell me it's a nice. I've been to the track, but I hadn't been over there for that race. But they tell me that's a nice race. And see, it get pretty packed over there. If you on one of these shows and you hear Dre or Bushnell, them joking that they probably could tell you, you know, exactly what day it is. I'm quite sure they probably keep up with it. Or even, probably even Big Jake, you know what I'm saying? One of them, you know, probably keep up with it like that. Especially since Big Jake a promoter.
I call my best friend. He knows exactly what day it is. You know, there used to be a couple of big match races down at that dude. I haven't heard from him in a while. Tree Man, the brothers that had them fast, like, they Tree Man.
Yeah.
And the
I know who Tree Man is.
Yeah. Lazy.
Yeah, Tree Man used to come to Hattiesburg every year over here. Yeah. Don't Tree Man used to come to Hattiesburg every year. I ain't seen him. Well, ain't no race up there no more, but I hadn't seen him over there the last couple of times before they closed down. I never saw him over there then.
That's a nice car.
Hey, Chris Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, tell us about, a lot of people probably don't even know the place exists. That prison down there in Mississippi, probably the worst prison in the world.
You talking about Parsmer?
Parsmer? That the name of it?
Let me get it, Parsmer.
Yeah, it's on Highway 49 up there in Drew, Mississippi.
Yeah, you're talking about good old Parchman, baby.
Yep, Parchman. It's actually the actual name of it is Parchman Family Farms. That's the name of it.
Big Eddie, I told you a story about when they took us to Parchman, Big Eddie. They took a few of us down there. I think I was in the eighth grade.
You went down there, Dean?
Fighting. I was in the eighth grade fighting every day. Fighting every day, wanted to fight. Couldn't wait to fight. So they took a few of us down and just stayed into it. I had this black guy down there, Alvin Hodges, myself, and a couple more. He was a little white boy at the school with man. He could have been 4 feet tall, standing on a stack of bricks. Black boy started picking him. So I asked him, man, why don't you pick on somebody your side? He said, you my side. But see, I had just came from Chicago, so I got this northern in me. He said, you must have, that's what I mean. Here we go. So they took a busload of us down there, man. Took about 15 or 20 of us down there. And they tell us, they said, stay, you know, you got to stay right here in a single file line until which I found out later, because I wasn't waiting. They told us stay there until our tour guide come get us. I said, man, I got to pee. I ain't got time to wait. I see the sign that says me as I cut out. And by me not waiting, I see a joker come down the hallway, Big Ed, like he weighed about 400, and he had to turn sideways for someone to get past him. And my man, I said, this thing said, take me for hostage. He break it up out of here. What are you talking about? A joker backing up and got back in line from that point on. Every time it was a dime, pick his foot up, I'll put my foot in his track. So we get back to the school, they said, how was Carl? How was Alvin? He said, he was the best two down there. I know he was. we were scared. Hey, they gave us scared straight before scared straight came out, man. That was back in like 6 days.
Yeah, man.
Get us down there. Yeah, took a busload of us down there. And dude was down there, he had a band singing a song. I said, I'm going to be down here for the rest of my life because all I did was kill my wife. And they said he actually killed his wife for real.
D, boy, I remember when you came in, you came through that big, you remember, y'all came through that big arch up front up there and you turned and went into the prison on the right-hand side, no longer there. The wooden building, the barracks that were across the street, no longer there. Now they got big old giant camps. They got big old giant camps, like Camp 29, they built, it's the biggest up there, they call that Castle Grace Club. That's a big ass place. That place got like 16 zones in it or so.
I got a cousin got stabbed up there.
There's two prisons. There's two prisons in the South that I can tell you about. Neither one of them has a fence. Period. That's Parchment and Angola. They don't have fences. You get out in Angola, you make it to the highway, you're a free man. They know you're not gonna make it. If some animal don't kill you out there,
man,
you're going to drown or something because it's basically surrounded by water. Swamp land. Parchment.
Yeah, that's
you can walk 2 days across Parchment and not see the highway.
Still be on the ground.
That's how far them cats face out.
If you made it to land, you were free. When you got there in that water, they knew what they were going to make it. They said that the word is that, you know, one man actually made it out of Alcatraz, and he was never found again. So they said he actually made it, but no one really know. I know Parchment, man. Look, I was straight for a long time. I didn't have a fight for a long time after I left Parchment. I knew that. Look, man, y'all may think I'm joking, but I'm 100% serious. I didn't fight for a long time after I left Parchment, Jack. They said, how was it? He said, man, Carl and Adam was the best two students there. And Brooklyn just knew we were going to do something because we were fighting every day. Hey, man, we were fighting every day, all day. We were game-making. You know, back then, only game banging was your family. If you had a big family, you was a game. And I had plenty of uncles. So if you got back, you got to deal with them. But, man, look, when I seen that joke, man, that joke of shoulders had to be like, you know, today I would say he wasn't that big, but back then, man, that man should have been about 4 feet wide, and his waist like it was 5'30". I said, he's going to kill me. That's backing up. Here come to find out, he was what they call a trustee. But I didn't hang around long enough to learn. You know, they ask me where I'm going. Well, they ask me where you going. I said, man, F you. I'm gone. I'm going around that corner. I didn't respect nobody. But, man, when I seen that joker come out that hallway, good gosh, boy, there ain't going to be no trouble after that.
Yeah, man. Boy, and nowadays, Big Ed and DL, you go to Parchment. Now, back in the day, I used to go up there to see my brother-in-law, drive my mother-in-law and them up there to see my brother-in-law. And I knew the dude. Mm-hmm. You know, he was right here in Gulfport, a place called Turnkey, which is a subdivision just north of me there. I knew the dude, you know what I'm saying? And I was sitting in the cafeteria talking to another dude from Gulfport there. My brother-in-law was talking to my mother-in-law there. I was sitting there talking to him. And, all of a sudden, this big old giant-looking one come up out of the back like that in the dormitory area. And, man, he walked out. I said, God damn, that's a big old dude. I mean, man, this dude looked like Lou Ferrigno and shit. Story is, he picked a backhoe up out of a ditch. That's the story now. I don't know if it's true or not,
man,
but that's the story. But I'm being honest with you. I promise you. Listen at this, though. This is the thing over there. He already up there for killing somebody and did 12, 13 years, okay? Just before he gets out, somebody here kills his sister. They let him out. You know, he going to go, you know, he getting out, so he's going to go to the funeral there. They let him out. And the story on this one is, but this is a true fact that happened now, afterwards. The story on this one is they told him, okay, Mr. Bradley, we don't want to see you back. So he said, no, y'all keep my bunk with it. He said, because now this is what they say he said. Because the bitch that killed my sister, I'm going to kill that bitch and I'll be right back. And he killed him. And he killed him. He's still up there now. He's 70-something years old up there. Looks like the whole sitting up there. He's about 6'3". He's about 6'3" and about 280 pounds. Just muscle, though. All you do is lift weights.
I got a cousin got shaked up in that place. They killed my cousin Dover up in there.
Oh, yeah.
Joe was scared to fight him. You him all about a one-hitter quarter. He was a one-hitter before Mike Tyson was a one-hitter. If Dover tagged and you didn't go down, something had you propped up. So people were scared. Man, they got him off in Parchment and shanked him up. They were scared of him. They were, hey, Big Eddie, in my hometown, they were scared of him, man. He was known for knocking people out. And he loved his family. You know, you couldn't You had to almost say Mr. D instead of saying D when he was around. Man, they got this goddamn freshman shake yeah. him up.
Well, D, I tell you like it right here. They told me everybody up there that ain't nobody's girlfriend got a shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was told. That's what I was told. Because if they somebody's girlfriend, they protected, you know.
But I'm going to tell you something, though. Out here in Joliet, man, my partner used to work out there. Ellen used to work out there. Ellen said this guy used to walk out that gate every morning at 7 o'clock. He'd walk on down the street. You know, Joliet still got a little country to it back then. And he said the guy would walk on down the street, this little country store. He said, I didn't play checkers all day. And then about 6:50, he'd come prop his feet up on that brick, them pillars, smoke a cigarette. And when the gate started rolling, he'd spin around and come on in. So Elton say, asked him one day, man, why you don't just say you've been here practically all your life? He said, the dude say he'd been there, I think he was 16, and he was like 60, maybe 70 something then. He said, man, why you keep coming back? He said, why don't you just change clothes and get gone? You'll be dead before they find you. Elton said, that guy told him, said, why would I leave home? Leave my family, man. Elton, these not your family. This not your home, man. He said, son, let me talk to you. Elton said, that guy sit him down and told him, man, he said, everybody I know, Parker, is either dead or they moved away. He said, where would I go? I don't know nobody out there. He said, I've been in science now, I think he said 15 or 16. Like I said, dude had to be at least in his late 60s, early 70s. He said, where am I going to go? He said, son, I don't know nobody. Elton said, one day he left there, and that gate started rolling, and he didn't come around that corner. He said, oh, man, he gone now. And man said, the security guard said, bet 20, he coming. Said, right before that gate got about 2 body width, he spin around that corner. Elton said, damn. Said, man, that man said, where are you going? And I think a lot of them take that, you know, that mentality. I think they'll stay in there so long. It should have come home to them. Sugar, you 20, and here it is, you 70. You done gave him 50. I mean, what's out here for you? That's how
you don't know nobody. Ain't nobody came and visited you. You ain't got no family. Yeah. But old man up that corner say, I should have talked to that man. That man say when he went to prison, a 46 Ford was a brand new car. That's what he told me. And he said, he had been there all them years, and he just sit up, like you just said, he sit up there in front of the visitor center all day long, and he go right across the street. When Camp 1 was there, go in Camp 1 and go to sleep. He said he ain't had nowhere to go. He didn't know nobody. Yeah. And then another dude told me this just then. I asked him, I said, man, why do you keep going back to prison? He said, hell, I come out here, I can't make it. He said, hell, up in there, everything paid for, I ain't got to worry about it. I got 3 house in a cot. He said, fuck it, I'm just going back and living. And that's what he did.
A lot of them actually, man, they said, you know, that's how they feel. They haven't been there so long.
Yeah, he said he don't know how to do nothing. Ain't nothing out there for him. He going to do something stupid. He might hurt somebody, so he'd rather just go steal something and go back to prison.
I got a partner of mine, a cripple, that's a very close friend of mine, man, right now. He done spent 50 or more trying to beat the case, and he said the attorney, he had one of Johnny Cochran's associates, and he said the man told him in the door from day one, he said, we can't beat this case. He said the only thing we can do is work on trying to get him the least amount of time that we can. He said, I'm telling you, I won't take the money on the pretense that we can beat it because we can't. And he said, he asked him why. He said the 3 that he put in his chest, he said, I can work with that. I got no problem with it. He said, but those 3 that he put in his back, kills our case. He said, we can't win. And they end up giving him life with no possibility of parole. He done spent 50, and he told him, last time I talked to him, he done spent another 20, close to 30 on appeals. At least trying to get a reduction in the time, you know, get him back to a number. Right now, I don't think going to beat him out of the headlights on the hearse.
I was always told by my cousins and everything down here, them jokers were going back and forth to prison, going back and forth to prison. They told me like they say, boy, you okay. If they tell you you got life in prison, you okay. But if they tell you you got natural life or you got 20 years in a dark day or 10 years in a dark day or whatever.
You never see a dark day. They said dark. They said your dark day. You never see that dark Sunday.
Never come.
Yeah, you never see that dark Sunday. Why you never see it?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, man, and they use all that type of stuff on our people. You know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
That's when we get to a point where we talk about institutional racism. You know, institutional racism is also known as systemic racism. It's a form of racism that's embedded in the laws and the regulations of society or an organization. It manifests as discrimination in areas such as criminal justice, employment, housing, health care, education, and political representation. This is the type of stuff we deal with, which they call systemic racism, but a lot of people don't believe it's happening right now today, you know. Sad situation. You know, Eddie, I was talking to somebody earlier today, one of my friends, I think, might have been Darryl from Florida. Fabian, that's who it was. And we was talking, and he kept talking about Democrat, this, that. It's fair, you know, supposed to be fair, this, that. And like I told him, that's the myth that they put out there for us to believe and try to hold on to. A democracy, and it's supposed to be fair.
Yeah.
But it is a democratic society. But the democratic part of it is, I'm trying to think of how to word this. It's a racial democratic society. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a racial and what's the other word? You know, it's a racial economic. That's what I'm saying. Racial and economically. Society, a democratic society, because those who have the money and those of that race that's running things, and everybody, we all know who it is, the Caucasian, they run everything. It's basically a dictatorship, and they run everything. They do what they want to do. They don't follow no law. They don't follow no law. And we're doing this here tonight for Black History Month and also Black history in itself. They say, while Black History Month is a time to celebrate the progress that has been made and honor those who fought for equality rights for Black people in the United States, it's also an occasion to reflect on how far we have to go. Think about that. We still got a long way to go. Matter of fact, when Trump became president, he probably put us back 30 years, you know, because things had pretty much settled down a whole lot. I mean, it was still going on, but it was a lot of it was hidden. Trump made these people come out and show their ass, you know.
Oh, man, hidden racism.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The legacy of slavery, racism, Jim Crow laws, and hateful lynching has translated into modern day mass incarceration. So this is the way they do us now, is in the prisons, is how they use us as slaves, mass incarceration of Black people.
I'm kind of glad Trump brought him out, Big Eddie, because a lot of them, I didn't even know them at first, but now I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them you would call a friend. Or thought of as friend.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Eddie.
Yeah.
Nigga, slavery is supposed to be abolished, right?
Supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's
now,
not.
This is my, this is what I'm, but that's what I'm saying to you. How could you abolish slavery, as they said, the 14th Amendment, abolish slavery, but you still allowed to go on, it said, except for in the penal system. You still allowed to go on in prison and stuff like that. That's, because that's all that is, modern-day slavery. They
yeah.
get all that work out of them people for free.
Yeah.
They're talking about they paying them this, that, and they not paying them a fair wage. So it's still slavery. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to abolish slavery, you abolish slavery. And then the thing about that is, this is
yeah.
something else also. I don't know who agrees with what I'm finna say, who don't agree with what I'm finna say, but I'm going to say it. I don't care if you got 1 year, if you got 40 years. If you serve that time and you come back out here, and you want to go get a job, and the first thing people tell you, you're talking about, oh, we can't holler for them. They're discriminating against you because you have paid your debt to society in full. So why can't you get a job because you got a felony record?
That's right.
Where is that in the Constitution?
That's right. You're
exactly
even if you
right.
don't have a record.
You're exactly
for
right. You're exactly
you
right.
You ain't got to have a record. You still can't holler getting a job, man.
Well, I know what I'm just saying. I'm just talking about this felon thing because, see, they'll tell you as a felon you cannot vote. There's only certain felonies. If you look up that whole thing, if you read that, there's only certain things, murder, and a couple other things that you can't go and vote on. That's the only way. And then you can't appeal that. But it's up to them, like I say.
Yeah.
That dictatorship is up to that dictatorship to let you do it or not. They don't want you to do it because look at what they're doing now. They're doing everything they can now to discourage black folks from voting with all this different voting shit that they're doing. And, they, you know, it's a whole lot of shit. Black folks already don't want to vote. They really don't.
Yeah.
I'm being honest with
well,
you.
Well,
because, and, you know, ain't they trying to
make it where that even in prison, you can vote, and you know they don't want that. But ain't that something they've been
trying to
get to happen?
They trying to kill. They trying to kill voting. Remember, Georgia's trying to kill voting. A couple other states, they trying to kill voting.
I know about that part, Crookaletta. I'm just saying. I heard a proposal where they came up saying that how come, you know, they got all these black people in jail, and by them being in jail, they won't let them vote. They was talking about trying to make it where that this is something that our people is acting for, where that they can vote in jail. It ain't nothing put forth. And then they came along with even trying to cut it down more with this stuff in Georgia and in Texas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, they did make that proposal. I don't know if they still fighting for it or not. I haven't heard nothing else about it.
Well, I'm not going to be negative in no kind of way or nothing like that, but I'm going to tell you just like it is. I don't really know how to go back and check that. But now, if they did make that proposal, I'm just going to tell you, if they pull it out and told them to come vote about it, white folks going to shoot it down. They're going to come out and grow. You're going to have white folks from 40 years go voting and stuff. You know what I'm saying? They're going to, you know, they did it during Trump. Mother went down there and voted for their dead grandparents and all that kind of stuff. They did that. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, you know what I'm saying? It'll be hard. But what we have to do is, this is what we have to do. I'm being honest with you. People say it don't help to go vote. Yes, it does. Because, see, first of all, it's like this right here. You can also get up enough people and get petitioned and have people removed from office. You can put people in there. If you put somebody, just say for instance, we got together as a black community and we put somebody in office here on the local level, and that person goes in and does everything that we're supposed to do and we support him or her to the fullest, then we can make things happen. That person can go on from the state, the local level to the state level, from the state level to the federal level. And then when they get to the federal level, we can put other people in behind him and do the same thing all over again. Once we start doing that, then we can have the majority, and we can basically get some of the things that we really want or need. But until then, there's nothing in it for us, because all the money and everything that's been allocated, you know what I'm saying, for these different, like the BP settlement and different stuff they had down here, all that money was allocated, this, that, and other, is going everywhere elsewhere except these red zones down here. You know what I'm saying? It's going to the other people's neighborhoods and, you know, highways and streets and roads and stuff. You can see it, you know what I'm saying? But nobody says anything about it. That's the problem. Too silent. You got to wake up and make notes.
Yeah. That's right.
And I try to tell these people that, but, you know, it's not the message that I'm giving them. It's me, the messenger, for a lot of them. They can't stand it. You know what I'm saying? People always tell, oh, you think you know this? You think you know that? All you got to do is do the same thing that I've been doing. Go research and get up off your ass and go to some of these city council meetings and different things like that, and you'll know stuff for yourself. I said, you got kids at school. I got grandkids at school. I go to the school board meeting. I said, all you got to do is get up off your ass and go see. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, just that another. Just like here. They done passed the thing 2021 where these kids around here have to go to school year-round here in this county. Okay? You tell some of the parents about it, you know what they say? So what? They got babysitters year-round now. They don't have to, hey, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't have to put up with their own kids. That's all it is. And that's the dumbest thing I ever seen in my life. You get a child and you don't want to support that child or be bothered with that child. It's just a paycheck to you. That's all they're using them for.
Yeah.
Man,
hey, Ray Lofa, y'all was mentioning about something in HMP. Well, the dog, he sent me a message saying, I guess the lady name is Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa Shotwell.
Yes, Lisa Shotwell. Uh-huh. The lady at HMP. Then he said, Texas, motherfucker. Cuss me out.
Oh, man. Houston Motorsports Park.
Houston Motorsports from Texas. Yep.
Yeah.
That damn dog.
Tell man, that old son bitch, goddamn, I hope a gator bite him in his ass while he's down there in Florida.
He can't hear you now. You know he can't hear you, kid. He's going to tear your ass up Monday.
Yeah.
Hey, kid, I'm going to tell you one thing about alligators. I'm going to tell you one thing. If it was a crocodile, it'd be something different. But I'm going to tell you one thing about alligators. Alligators are just like sharks. They don't like dark meat.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Think
I don't fuck
it.
With them.
Oh, just think about it. When have you heard of an alligator attack on a black person? Or when have you ever heard of a shark attack on a black person? Come on now. Talk to me. Evidently,
no.
They don't like dog meat.
Yep. You don't hear it.
Mm-mm.
No, he already cursed me out to today, Big Eddie. He goddamn made a post. He eating breakfast. I told him, goddamn, he got his Waffle House goddamn ass up in Cracker Barrel goddamn eating. It's going to cost more.
Mm. I hear crickets.
Oh, man.
Do you hear crickets, Big Ed?
What's that name? Spring crickets right there.
Yeah, they're crickets.
No, ain't nobody talking on the show. I was just saying I hear crickets. Because ain't nobody talking.
I had just, but I wouldn't answer the other line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I was just saying the show got quiet. I hear crickets.
Yeah. Yeah, my phone rang. It was my sister-in-law. I just answered it right quick. But, yeah, man, I think we did a pretty good job tonight here, Crickoletta. I appreciate Raylo compliment throughout the show and everything. I hope more people feel like that. You know, I did try to put together something a little different for Black History.
Can I say one more thing and then I'm going to shut up?
You can say whatever you want to say.
And maybe some people may agree with it, you know what I'm saying? Because like I say, a lot of times it ain't the message, it's the message you're giving it. And you know what I'm saying? You can be dead right, but they don't want to see you be dead right a lot of time. But this is my thing right here. Now, you just said about, what was that you said, Ed, about the show tonight we did?
Other than just trying to, you know, do something a little different, you know, for Black History.
Well, I said like this right here.
I said I hope everybody enjoyed it, just like Raylo.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, he enjoyed it. Yeah.
That's what I was talking about right there. Now, let me show you something about what you just said. It's about time that we as a people together start trying to get together and learn some stuff and discuss some stuff instead of always going for a lot of bullshit. Now, that's what I wanted to say. And I ain't trying to step on nobody's toes, nothing like that. I'm just stating a fact.
Yeah, Crickoletta, some people just don't want to learn, don't want to know. I guess they figure if they don't know, then it don't apply to them. You know, however it goes.
They the ones that get the hardest. They the ones that get the hardest because they don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, wake up,
kid. I'm going to say it. Hey, Ed, I'm going to say it like here. Right here. If you downtown Chicago, and somebody up on one top of them buildings down there, and they shooting down, and they shooting, everybody got on a lime green shirt or jacket or, you know, on top. You got lime green, why would you take your ass down there?
Curiosity killed the cat.
Kid, you got a good point there, kid. You got a good point there. But a lot of times it ain't even curiosity. Mo just want to be in the place to be seen and, you know, so they can say this and that and the other. You know what I'm saying? But you have seen that done. I know all of us have seen that done. Something going on and you ain't got no business there in the first place. You go anyway.
Oh, it's quite natural, Crickoletta. You can go to, you know, when they had these shootings at these malls and shit, white folks are running goddamn to see what's going on. Black folks goddamn are trying to find the exit door so they can get the fuck up out of there.
Damn, Skippy. Get up under something or something.
Yeah, man.
Well, what's the name of the mall out there?
Hey, you know,
what's the name of the ball out there, Big Eddie?
Which one?
The one they had the shooting at.
He said the mall?
Oak Brook. Man, white folks trying to find out who was doing the shooting. Black folks got them looking for the exit. Let me get up out of here. See
Hey, man,
please.
Was that Richard Pryor had that joke? Say they was walking or something like that, and all of a sudden everybody just took off running, goddammit. So then all of a sudden they stopped running and say, hey, man, what we running for? he wasn't lying, boy. I remember we did the same thing before, said. I was down in Mississippi coming off Brickyard Hill, dog. And my cousin say, you know where you at? I said, I say, shit, I'm following you. He say, we in the cemetery. Granddaddy buried over there. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, we're in the middle of the cemetery. All of a sudden, somebody jumped out from behind one of them headstones, man. Everybody just took off running. And we got down the bottom of that hill. The dude come down there laughing like hell. Man, you know them over eyes. I guess they kind of trained to be in the dark. I had a pick in my head. The pick fell out of my head on the ground. Do you know that man picked that pick up and brought it down there? I'm like, how the hell he get his pick in this dark?
Yeah, well, your pupils have a tendency to get larger in the dark than they do in the daylight.
Yeah, well, it didn't help me none. I couldn't see nothing. Yeah. That's well, y'all, like Crickaletta said, it didn't slow down. Ain't nobody got nothing else they really want to talk about. Yeah, we can get up out of here.
Yep.
I sure appreciate y'all. Brother B, Crickaletta, Ray Lowe, Kid, Big Mark. That's Big Mark.
Mm.
Big Mark's on.
Yeah. Ray Lowe still on here?
So, I don't know. Nah, he gone.
What was he asking about, a race?
That
Martin Luther King
race. They had
a Martin Luther King race. Yeah. Oh, somebody got their hand up. I don't know. How they get it? What's going on? 219-2285.
That's leaking,
ain't
it?
Indiana number.
That's leaking,
ain't it? I don't know. He ain't saying that.
Oh, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening, fellas?
Hey, what up?
What's going
what
on?
Ain't
oh,
too much, man. What's
just
happening with you?
Just coming on in, man. Been out shoveling snow, blowing snow.
Yeah, I got
snow
some
up
more snow away.
Man, it's cutting
yeah,
up outside, kid. I just got through plowing some people's yard tonight, and I come on, give me a little break.
I got some more of that lake effect snow over there away.
They say 3 more inches. It's snowing like we're finna get
eight.
Yeah,
we're getting some out of here too, Leon. I don't know how much landed out there, but it was coming down pretty good earlier. About 7 o'clock.
It's doing that right now.
That was
yeah,
a little shit to come off the lake, Eddie. It's gone now.
Yeah, what are you doing way over here, man?
Shit. Wind carried it over the way. The wind blew it over the way.
Yeah, because they say it's supposed to get like 20 mile per hour, 30 mile per hour wind. So that'd be a little
bit. Yeah, the wind blows over
that
way.
Yeah.
Well, you can stop blowing it over here, take it to Leon, shit.
Yeah, he getting some. Shit, the snow we got winds, shit. They didn't get, I think they got about an inch up there in Waukegan, shit. From goddamn the city on south, goddamn it, that's the one got hit.
We got 14.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All together, we got 15, about 15, 16 inches of snow when it stopped.
Yeah. Shit, up there around Waukegan and shit, they got about an inch.
Yeah, it looked like it dumped about 9 in my driveway, about 9 inches.
Yep.
But I made
might have been more than that, shit, when I stepped down in it. You mean how much you make for us?
I made $550 the other day, and then I just made a few hundred today.
Yeah.
I had to put that in the old truck, though. My old truck had messed up today. I had to put an iron arm on that old thing.
Big Mark.
You paid off. What y'all got going on, man? Kid, shit. I think I'm going to Lights Out. I'm going over to Lights Out again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I had a good time. I'm gonna get my old truck, get my truck in shape so I can take me a golf cart this time. I ain't going and do all that walking. I want to be riding.
Yeah, I heard that.
I did. I walked that whole place. And you talking about somebody was there all day. When I went to that room, I took that shower. Shit, man, I slept too. I slept till about 10 o'clock.
Damn, then I woke up the next day, huh?
Man, I walked. It was so much action, and I met people who was down there at 41, from 41 down there racing in the races down there.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a couple more weeks. No, James races next weekend. Yeah.
Shit, is he going to have one? Because it's been, everybody getting cold.
Yeah. Yeah, the weather kind of fucked up. But I think Lil Country and Illuminati is locked in at his race.
Yeah. What's the name? Baldy got to run somebody tomorrow. Baldy race tomorrow. Baldy having a race down there.
Mm-hmm.
Think Dog's supposed to be down there tomorrow.
Yeah, right. I think he got his ass down there.
I don't know about that fat cruiser. What do you think about that?
I think I'm gonna pass that up and just wait on Bobby's race.
I am too, kid. I ain't finna fool around with that cold weather. And then fool with these cars and then gotta come back in this cold shit, put the car all up and all that old stuff. Man, please.
There was a different one. It was in the Hattiesburg. That was damn near 250 miles further south.
And it was warm.
Yeah, it ain't going to be too much different, goddamn it, in the weather here than it is in Memphis.
Shit, Memphis is going to be just like, right, Memphis is going to be just like us.
So I can skip that February race and just wait on Bobby's race.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got some hands.
I can do it with the sweatshirt. Yep. I was telling Madman the other day, I said, shit, goddamn it, 1st of April, goddamn it, down in Memphis, might be like Chicago weather.
Yeah, it don't start warming up the way they're getting it now. They probably won't warm up until probably April.
Yep.
April, yeah. That February and that May and March, shit, man, that shit, y'all forget that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Well, shit, we ran into some cold days, goddamn it, down in Hattiesburg on Fat Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one year, shit, I remember that one year we went to Walmart and bought all the sweatshirts and the hats out of that place.
Yeah, I think I can skip that. I can skip that one.
I can wait, kid. I can wait. Shit. I mean, the races, that cold weather is bad enough. You're fighting it up here. Then you got to go 8 hours, 9 hours away and fight it again. Shit, I'm going to stay at home.
Right. That's what I said. I don't think it's going to be too much difference in the weather.
Hey, you can take my phone down there racing the cold. We got heat.
Oh, man.
It's always one of two things going on Mardi Gras down here. It's either going to be cold or it's going to be raining.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, Eddie, I call check and see if you want to take my bone.
All right. Yeah, I got heat, air conditioning, everything in that thing.
Yeah, tomorrow morning it's gonna be 29 here.
Down there, Gulfport.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We gonna we what we got? We gonna have minus four. We're going to have minus four in the morning.
Is it going to be that cold? I figured y'all were going to be cold like that for us to be cold like that. Yeah, I figured y'all were going to be cold.
I don't sleep with men money.
Yeah, they talking about it's 18 degrees now. Oh, y'all. The show just ended. Let's see if we're going to stay on. Last week it fell off the phone. If it ended, if it went, it's filled one off with the rest of it. Damn. And then you got to think about it. You
got live in the motherfucker.
We anywhere from 6 to 7.5 hours from Memphis. You know what I'm saying? And shit, it's snowing Memphis every year. It don't snow down here at all. You get, might get it every so many years.
That,
you might get one.
That TV just came on that live. Somebody got TV on live.
Mine on mute. A good time coming on.
Must be leaking.
Ain't nothing I can do, man. They did it at the right time.
What y'all say? You got TV on? Oh, yeah, that's my bag. My bag, y'all. I was watching the movie.
Oh, shit. Yeah, sure. Got one off on me, man. I had one more song I wanted to play. I waited too late. Got no control of the board right now. But, yeah, Leon, we had a Black History show today.
Oh, yeah.
Black History. I think it turned out pretty good.
It's our month. They gave us a month.
Yeah. But, you know, we celebrate Black History in life, even though it's a month,
yeah,
we still celebrate it in life because we live it every day, day in and day out.
Man, look, it's funny. Now, look, you know what's funny? I'm gonna show you something. This is how the white people is doing us. That boy, I just seen on the news. That boy in Minneapolis, much stuff going on. That boy in Minneapolis was visiting his cousin, and they had a warrant to go in the house. This dude sleep got license to carry a handgun wrapped up in blankets,
mm-hmm.
And they come in the apartment with a key. Now, what you expect he gonna do? If I'm thinking somebody breaking in on me. Do you know they shot and killed that boy?
Yep, that's what I heard.
Shot and killed him in Minnesota. They don't. They treating us. We worse as an animal, cause they killing us off.
Yeah, we just game, man. People don't understand that we are just game to them, man. We live game. If you see the movies they used to show all the time, where they used to catch people and take them way out in the woods, and then they tell you run. We don't give you time to run, and then they go look for them. That's what they think of us, man. We game to them.
Well, my thing is, what is the purpose of a no-knock warrant? The two that I done heard about, got them people wind up getting killed.
Man, yeah. That was too bogus right there, man. It's nowhere in the world they can't bring charges on them. And then you know what? You know what's getting me though? The police is acting like they don't even care. They still doing all the stuff.
They don't care,
all the
man.
Stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
They still doing it.
Yeah.
With no kennel sympathy. It don't even bother them. It don't. They don't care about mm-hmm. going to jail.
And then people
or
wonder
none of that.
Because they ain't going to jail. And then people wonder why people starting to kill the police now. You know, hey man.
It's an 80% chance they won't be going to jail.
Man, right. This man killed that boy and shot him 16 times, and he coming home in 3 years.
Yeah.
That folks can protect themselves and kill somebody, and they still getting 25, 30, man. You know it ain't for us, man.
Yeah. Nope.
No, it ain't that
racism, man.
But you know the sad part about the whole thing, bro? I'm going to tell y'all something y'all don't never even think about. You got Joker on the police force look just like us. They
yep.
let them
yep.
folks do that kind of shit and support them.
And won't
but at
say
the same
nothing.
Time, man,
yep.
when they get through, well, listen out of here. Now, when they get through killing all of us, who they going to kill next?
Yep.
They going to turn on their ass, too.
Or either they say we finally took our world back and got rid of them.
As they said, a code of silence.
And I've
yeah,
seen
like
that today. That's the first time I've seen that.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. We ain't got a chance, man. We ain't got a chance with them people.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
They care about
fucking
shit on
that.
If
you stood there
with
some bullshit and go to them and tell them the truth about it and it's one of them, they're not going to listen to what you said. They're going to side with that police officer. You know what I'm saying? Like you lying.
Camera recorded
even
everything. The man woke up. If somebody come and kick my door in and I'm sleep up in there, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to grab that pistol and say, fine. What you think I'm supposed to do? Oh, who is you? And you didn't kick my dough in.
Yep. Hmm.
You know, I was watching that news. You remember this, Leon, that old fat-ass white lady talking about she wanted to be the chief of police, talking about they opened the door and hollered police, and they said the camera said no. That black lady came up and said the camera didn't say none of that. They didn't say shit. They just started shooting.
Yeah.
In 9 months, that's how much respect they care about us. In 9 months, and they still dogging us out. That's cold-blooded kill. That's cold-blooded killing right there. They opened the door up and said police and called that boy's name, and he reached for his gun, and they shot him. What you think a person's supposed to do if you reach for your gun? You kick the door. You bang at the door and come in hollering police. And I'm days off in the sleep.
Listen to him. They didn't call that boy name because that ain't the one they were looking for. They killed the wrong one. That ain't the dude they were looking for. Watch the news again. He wasn't the dude they were looking for. They didn't call his name.
That's sad.
Yep.
That they ain't doing the law. They taking the law in their hand. They got their own rules as far as color folks.
It's always been like that. There ain't nothing new.
But see, kid, back then they had cameras. Back then they didn't have cameras. They brought cameras to get the truth. You getting the truth, and they still is killing us.
They're still doing the same
truth
thing.
Don't mean that. Ain't nothing.
Some of them goddamn it. Some of them goddamn it talking about their cameras not working and this, that, and the other. But man, shit, they got to hold them accountable for the shit they be doing.
Ain't no way that son gun should have got out Thursday night. There's no way in the world he should have got that little tab. Because if he loads the gun if they'd let him load the gun up, what you think he was gonna do? He's gonna keep on shooting some more.
Yeah.
So
what about all the people that lied for him, Leon?
Yeah.
What about all the people that did all the falsification of papers and lied? You know, they ain't getting nothing. There's a cover up. They seen it plain as day, and they ain't do nothing to none of them, man.
You right. They want to lock your ass up for a year or two for telling them a false name. So, shit. They should have got
Hey, look how they doing that. Look at how they doing that Smollett guy, Crookaletta. They took him back to trial and everything again. All this shit happened about the same time. And they ain't fucking him. He out.
Mm-hmm.
And all the fag did was lie, man.
Mm-hmm.
But see, it's okay to lie to the police and everything if you Caucasian. But if you black, you better not lie.
Yep. You don't commit a sin.
I don't know, man. I say on my son every day, let him be try to understand life. This is death. You have to get it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't let the streets grab him. Streets can't get you. There's no wind there. Cause they hey, you know how the old song said they got the key, they throwing the key away. They ain't throwing the key away. Us color folks, they killing us. One less nigga we got to deal with no more.
Yep, that's the way they see it.
Yeah, that's it. These people killing us, man. We ain't got a fighting chance. These people, and then they feel, and now what they just showed, what that just showed them, they can do what they want to do. Oh yeah, Bob, I go through 3-4 years for killing a black man.
Shit, go to court 3 or 4 times. He ain't going to jail. That's all it is. He's going to go to court 3 or 4 times. He ain't going to jail. We've been lucky to get the few convictions we have gotten off of these police and different ones and kill people. Like that woman that killed that man out there, Bottom Jean, and the man that got killed up there in Minneapolis. We were lucky to get them convictions. And you know what I'm saying? Because they didn't even want to convict them jokers that did Ahmaud Arbery. And they know they was wrong. They chased the man down the street and everything. You ain't got no business doing that. Citizen's arrest don't consist of all that.
Mm-mm.
They ain't had no evidence of nothing the man did. All they did was saw him, and you know what I'm saying? What he did was not illegal. If they had no trespassing signs up there, they could have seen on to him, but they didn't have none up. That's what the people in the court told.
But you see,
they had no minute to say nothing.
Well, you heard some of the other neighbors. You heard some of the other neighbors say. There's plenty of people that always walked over there and looked at the new construction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the other neighbor said.
But because they were black, that's what happened.
Them was just three racist-ass honkies, man. I don't give a fuck what nobody says.
They'll be all right now. They took one of them back to court today, didn't they?
Today or yesterday, one of the two.
I don't know.